Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and we are on episode 184 of the Slow Living Podcast. And I have a question for you. Do you want to be clutter-free? Today, I'm excited to welcome Deanna Yates to the Slow Living Podcast. Deanna is the founder of Wanna Be Clutter Free and passionate advocate for helping busy, overwhelmed people create homes and lives that feel calm, organized, and truly fulfilling. Through her work, she empowers families to let go of excess clutter, implement simple systems, and shift a mindset around minimalism, showing that clutter-free doesn't mean stark white walls or getting rid of absolutely everything you love. Deanna's journey has been anything but conventional. She and her husband moved across 5 states, traveled through Europe with her daughter for months at a time, and embraced an unconventional path to crafting a lifestyle that truly works for her family. She understands firsthand the challenges of balancing work, family, and the pressure to keep up. And she's on a mission to help others break free from the cycle of shoulds and comparison. With a warm and approachable style, Deanna makes decluttering simple and doable for anyone. And it helps people find joy in the everyday while creating space for what truly matters. Deanna, thank you for having me. And we're recording on Zoom, so no one can see you because we only save the audio. But usually, because I do have a day job, I record at the, I call it the butt crack of dawn. And here you are joining me in the same time zone at 6 a.m. with your laptop and podcast mic in your car. So yep. Thank you, Deanna.
Oh my gosh, Stephanie, thanks for having me. I am thrilled to be here. And yes, I am sitting in my car with my cup of coffee, with my mic. It's fine. Just trying not to wake up my kiddo before she has to go to school.
So that's the thing. That's the thing that moms do. And in the kind of like juggling and mental load is really just something that we do that I don't think men actually really understand. Everything we do has so many like qualifications and like, well, if I do this, then that'll happen. And how do I make this work? And you help people simplify that.
Yeah, definitely. Because I do think, yes, there's a lot. And right. Even me sitting in my car at 6 a.m. Yeah, it is. It's just one of those things, though, that I think if we can pick and choose our battles, it really helps. And I was listening to a book, an audiobook. I'm a big audiobook fan. And I was listening to one, and I'm going to forget who it's by. She started It Cosmetics. Okay. It's a fantastic book. It's called Believe It. And she was talking about what Meg Whitman, amazing female entrepreneur, had talked about. And she was saying, you know what? There's just not time for all of it. There is just not enough time in the day to worry about everything, do everything. Something has to give. And for me, it was kind of the stuff in my house, right? Like I was never a big like clothing shopper, like shopper. I've always been a big saver, but I did find myself gravitating toward purchasing things for the home and like trying to get our home set up. And I was never very good at it, but I always tried. And it just felt like eventually I understood that the stuff didn't matter as much. What mattered was who was there, and how we felt when we were at home. And so being able to kind of let go of that level, because it's very, very, very difficult to start to peel back the layers that society puts on us. But being able to start with my stuff and say, that doesn't actually matter as much to me as other people tell me it should matter. It really was like the first domino that started the process of like, oh, I don't have to live a conventional life. I chuckled as you mentioned that. I mean, it's my own bio. I hear it all the time. And yet I still chuckle when I hear the unconventional part because it's so true and it can be so rewarding. And it is anything that you choose for it to be. You know, whoever's listening to this, like this is, it's very, very personal, right? It's not something that anybody can say, this is the formula, this is the cookie cutter, go do this and you'll be happy. It really does come down to who am I? Who do I want to be? And I call them my three P's. Who are the person I want to be? Who is the partner I want to be? And who is the parent I want to be? You know, how do I want to show up in the world? And if you can get deep and answer that question, it does make the idea of the stuff and all the other things, right? Makes it much easier for your for slow living, like you advocate, because we live in a fast-paced world, you
We
know?
do. We do. I love the idea that you sort of self-identify as a saver and being frugal. Yet you also have traveled pretty extensively with children. And many times people think, oh, I can't do that. Or I'll do that when things quote unquote slow down or when I have more money. And so talk a little bit about how you can travel and experience things, but it doesn't necessarily need to be lavish or super expensive. I chuckled going through your website this morning, looking at a picture of you and your husband and daughter in front of a super fancy hotel
Oh, yes.
for the photo. And then you were honest and said, we didn't actually stay here. But I think sometimes we get such comparisonitis when we're looking at pictures on Instagram and online and thinking, well, I'll never be able to afford this. So I might as well just cross that one off my list.
It all comes down to priorities, right? And I do think, yes, you see things on Instagram or Facebook or wherever you like to TikTok, whatever. And you immediately put the lens of their everything in their life is me plus, right? You don't realize that there are trade-offs happening. So the first time we traveled, our daughter was one, and we had been living in Boulder. She was born in Boulder, Colorado, and we had been living there and loved it, but we were working out of our home. So it was, we would go from the bedroom to the office to the, to take her for a walk outside to the office to the bedroom to, you know, like we never left this little vicinity of our home and the little area around it for a walk, basically. You know, we go grocery shopping and all that kind of stuff, the real life stuff. But we thought we could do this from anywhere. And so we decided we were going to sell 95% of what we owned, and we thought, let's go try. You know, again, we got caught up also in a little bit of what you see online. Let's go be travel bloggers. It'll be so fun. Holy moly, is that stressful? That is a stressful lifestyle that you don't realize. Like the constant planning and going and seeing and filming. And it really kind of took the joy out of the travel for us in that first little stint. But we got down to like, okay, we can handle this. We actually ended up with a really great routine. Our daughter was a fantastic napper. So she would wake up and we would go out and about. I would wake up early and work in the morning. And then by the time she woke up, then we'd get her up, we'd go, and she and I would go do stuff all morning while my husband worked a freelance job. And then we'd come back, or he'd meet us out for lunch for a picnic. And then she'd come back and nap, and I'd work. And then we'd go do something in the afternoon. And then we'd work again after she went to bed. So again, it's not like we were just gallivanting around. I was still working at least 8 hours a day and still doing all this other stuff. You know, we were just in a different environment. And what happened was we gave up our apartment, right? We were renting. So instead of renting in Boulder, Colorado, we just rented Airbnbs at a month at a time. And so it allowed us to do slow travel that first time. The second time we traveled, we did a year and a half almost. She was 5, and I'd gotten really burnt out at work. I worked as a property manager in downtown Chicago. We had an incident, and I got super burnt out. And so we were just going to go for a month. And then we were going to go for the summer, and then we found out that kindergarten isn't required in 35 of the 50 states, and any of the states we were probably going to live in, it wasn't required. And so we just decided, okay, we're going to go until she starts first grade, because this is really the last chance we have for a long stint of travel. And the same thing, we gave up an apartment, right? So when you give up, we didn't own a house, right? So there are trade-offs there. So a lot of people that own a home, you might be more financially stable than we were at that time, right? So there are so many trade-offs that you don't see and people don't talk about. And you just have to figure out what it is that works for you, right? The first time we sold thousands of stuff, thousands of dollars worth of stuff. And like we sold a car. So we had, I don't know, I mean, we like $20,000 worth of stuff when it all was said and done because we had a couple really big things that we sold. And so that was helpful to be able to travel with some money. And then the second time we had saved up for it, right? So we might have gone into savings a little bit. My husband works remote, and at that time had been working remote. So again, he could do that job from anywhere. And so there are trade-offs. You just have to think about what is it, again, that really matters to me. What is it that's important? And know that there are going to be backstories. And if there are people that you're following that you're like, wow, how are they doing it? Send them a DM. Like, just reach out to them and be like, hey, I am fascinated with your story. Like, how is it that you're able to do this? And I mean, I hope that most people would be, if you were genuinely sincere in your question, that they would be genuinely sincere in their answer. I still believe in the good of humanity, even though I think, mass think is a little scary.
Agree, agree. What I like about your story is the honesty with the trade-offs and deciding to prioritize the youthful age that you were. You were young, and your daughter was young, and then paying attention that you're absolutely right. We're both in the state of California right now, and kindergarten is not a requirement. And many people don't know that. And since actually my day job is a school site secretary, I know firsthand that I am told by the district to send out truancy notifications and all of these things. But then I also vividly remember having little kids in the house and thinking, you know what, you're fine. Let's sleep in. Let's have a pajama day. Let's prioritize that. And you know, they all, well, my youngest is 15, so she's in high school, but they went to good colleges. They've got good brains. They're fine. I do, now I'm gonna get in trouble, but I do value prioritizing family and togetherness. And these are the people you're creating, these people, and the hope is you want to hang out with them, and you're creating these future adults who might be the parents of your grandchildren, and so you want them to have the ethics and the values and the morals that you have instilled. So yeah, I absolutely agree with you in that way. One thing that's really interesting is we didn't touch upon like what your own parents thought and your friends. Did they think like, oh, okay, you're just gonna go ditch us and go live in Europe and rent Airbnbs for a month at a time? Were they excited for you, or were they only looking at it from their own point of view, which is like a loss?
Would I say my parents were excited for us? No. Would I say they accept it? Yes. I have always been fiercely independent. And so I think from a very young age, my parents have just kind of figured out that I was going to do whatever I wanted to do anyway. Like I think one of my defining stories is at 3 years old, I broke my left thumb because I had to shut the car door, right? Like, you know, I've always been, no, my get it, my do it, my can do it. I, you know. And so I think it wasn't a surprise for them. I don't think they were super thrilled about it. I think they were very happy to know we came back to the States. I think they were terrified that we were going to end up, living there. But again, my journey is not a linear journey. I can't even tell you how, I mean, we've moved countless times, 16 times since college. I grew up in Southern California, went to school in Texas. We've lived in Iowa twice, Chicago twice. Boulder, all over Europe. So I think that my parents kind of at this point, that point in my life, were like, oh, great, what's this one going to lead to? Thankfully, I married a very nice Midwestern boy. And we've always, I think part of all that, I'll level you another honesty here. I think part of all that travel, though, did leave, or just my lifestyle of living in lots of different places did leave a level of guilt of, okay, well, we've always got to get back and visit our family, right? So I think we, at least we feel like we have, I hope they have feel like we have always made it a point to travel to see our family. And we don't live near either of our families. We've tried, and it just hasn't worked out. Timing hasn't worked out, or jobs haven't worked out. Like, for whatever reason, it never really worked out, when we were in the same place at the same time, or close-ish to the same place at the same time. And so, I think we just have to make that part a priority, right? We talk a lot on FaceTime. We try to go visit, as a few times a year. And so, and then, they'll come to us also a little bit. But no, I don't think our families were happy about it. Also, though, I think another big defining moment that people know in my story and have heard is we lost my father-in-law to melanoma back in 2011. And so it was right after my husband and I finally got married. We've been together since we were 20. We got married at 30. So, and he passed away like 3 months after we got married,
I'm
and it
so
was very
sorry.
aggressive and very fast. We were not prepared for it. But I think that opened our eyes a lot to, you can have all the plans in the world and life might not cooperate. And so we didn't want to wait until we were 65 and go travel, try to travel Europe for the first time. I think that made a big, big impact in our life. And if I can't tell my whole story without saying that part, because I do think it's such a big moment for us, and still impacts us to this day.
No, I absolutely agree. So, I mean, you hear the YOLO, you only live once phrase, and so sometimes people then feel frantic and they feel like they have to cram it all in a certain amount of time. And then I always joke that if we're lucky, life is long. Sure, absolutely, something horrible could happen, but you're here, you're not dead yet. And so sometimes at a certain age, people dismiss ideas and they're like, oh, well, that's great for Deanna. Deanna did that in her 20s and 30s, but now I'm in my 40s, 50s, 60s, and it's too late for me. And so I really want to point out that you get to decide. You're the grown-up in the room. And yes, people might be a little disappointed or surprised, and you might have some guilt, but this is your life, and you get to decide what's important for you. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud that you got to do this, and it is unconventional, but also, who's to decide what's conventional and what's not? And that's what I really like about Slow Living, is that acronym of simply look only within and asking yourself, like, what matters to me? Chances are what matters to you is not getting in the car every day and commuting to go sit at a desk and then eat a really kind of sad sandwich and then going back in the car to commute home and having a snapshot of time with the people that you actually love and care about.
Absolutely. And then also, though, if you find yourself in that situation right now, don't necessarily just say, throw
Yeah,
my
you
hands up
can't
in the
chuck it
air,
all
I
away.
quit.
Yeah, you have to plan.
Let's plan, but let's make a plan, right? Let's figure out what is it that would light me up every day. What can I cut back on, right? How can I, can I start to, like, I'll get it back kind of into my realm, like, right? Can I start to curate the things in my life? Can I start to declutter and let go of stuff? And it will let go of years of pent up what ifs, bad decisions, good decisions, things that you've done that you're like, oh gosh, I remember that. And that was such a special time in my life. Or I really enjoyed, maybe you really loved pottery when you were in high school, and you find a piece that's been tucked away in a box and you think, I should go take another pottery class or something that's gonna make me feel more alive and connected to whoever I am inside. Pottery is not my jam. Don't worry. I've tried. So all of you that are into that, God bless you. You are amazing. but like, for me, I've really, I've worked really hard at not getting too comfortable in life, right? Just trying to stay on my edge of my comfort zone, because I think that's where the growth is. And that's where, like you had said earlier, who is it that I want to inspire my child to be? And I want her to see that I have passions, and I want her to see that we can, do all these amazing things while also still being a great parent. We can, take care of ourselves. We can, be a good partner. I'm gonna let y'all in on a little secret. If you're in California, so we only have one child. Like, the joke is we even minimized ourselves, right? Two in, one, one in, two out, whatever. So, but she just got back from sixth grade camp at the time of recording this. My husband and I went to Vegas for a few days. Like, we just took off and we had fun. And, we felt a little bad of being like, everyone, we were like dropping the kids off. And everyone's like, oh, what do you guys got going on this week? And we're like, oh, we're about to go hit Vegas. Like, we're going to go take off. And everyone was like, oh my God, that was so smart. Either that's smart, we hate you, or, how irresponsible. But whatever, it worked for us really well. We drove so that we could have the responsible part of if we needed to get back, we could get back. We were ready to drop any plans we needed to. So it wasn't like we flew to Cabo.
Right.
We
And from
like,
where you are, Vegas
oh yeah,
is
we're in San
like an
Diego. It's like
hour.
5 hours.
So,
Yeah,
yeah.
not that far.
Yeah. It's not even a real flight. You're going
No.
up and then you're going
Oh
down.
gosh,
Yeah.
yes. Yeah, for sure, for the flight. And then, yeah, she was even closer where the camp was. So it would have taken us, a few hours to
Yeah.
get to her.
So, what's interesting
Yeah.
though is you're justifying all of this right now. And that's just so fascinating because one, you don't have to justify yourself to me. But I think definitely women have so many qualifications and we're so worried about what others might think.
Yeah.
We definitely are in that kind of guilt trap where maybe men don't have that same sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
It's a good point. Part of the story was going to come around to, though, like figuring out what you want to do. And like, I'm 45 and I'm still trying to be like, you know what? I want to age gracefully, but that doesn't mean I'm giving up, right? I'm still on my Peloton all the time. I'm watching what I eat. I work out. We call it the California 10. Like, I feel like in California, we strive to be like 10 years younger than our actual age, just because you're always on the beach. Like, we live right around the corner from the beach. My daughter is at the beach all the time in the summer. And so am I. And if I'm going to be in a bathing suit, gosh darn it, I want to feel okay about myself in that bathing suit. So again, it's for me. It's not for anybody else. I'm not doing it. I never post pictures of myself in a bikini on Instagram, but I'm in that bikini on the beach because that's, what I'm doing and that's where we live. And so I think, again, it's kind of that, yes, I 100% agree that qualifying how I live my life still to this day is a thing, right? It's
Yeah.
because we've grown up as women to be nice. Be nice. Don't rock the boat. Don't
Yeah.
make anybody too uncomfortable. But it's also why my daughter is very, she knows every word to sit still, look pretty.
That's really cute.
We belt it out because I want her to know she can do whatever she wants, right? So again,
Yeah.
trying to model the behavior I want to see in her, but then also having that balancing act, right? Not part of the qualification for Vegas for this last trip too
Yeah.
was knowing that for my daughter too. I didn't want her to think like, oh, my parents ship me off to camp and they go have a blast in Vegas and they're only having fun because I'm not there. It was more of like a, you are going to be gone. You're our only child. This house is going to be so quiet. I didn't want to be in it also without you for a whole week. Like I could
Yeah.
handle a couple days, but I couldn't handle 5 days, 4 nights without her. I
Yeah.
mean, I could have, but I didn't want to. And so part
Yeah.
of it was also, what's the balancing act between we're going to miss you, we also need to go have fun, you know, and just having these open conversations with her so that she knows that, oh, mom and dad do need to have fun. It wasn't because I wasn't there. You know, there's lots of things that go into that. And I want to make sure that she didn't feel that moment of like, oh, well, they just ditched me and went and had fun, quote unquote,
Oh.
you know? So, yeah.
Well, so my friend Jenny, when I had young kids in the house, she says, it doesn't really matter what you do. They're all going to end up in therapy anyway. And so that was actually a really relieving thought for me. Like, that's true. Like, I had a charmed life, but still, there's some stuff that you want to unpack. So
Totally.
it's fine. So, one thing I really want to point out that if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I own a home, I can't just like leave it and go gallivanting across the country or into a different country. I want you to poke at that a little bit because if
Yeah.
you are clutter-free or the less like less is more type mindset, I'm just going to explain what Adam and I are interested in doing. When the kids are out of school, and by school meaning probably high school, and so the youngest is tucked safely into college. We would like to rent the house out for a year and then travel. And we happen to live in a very expensive area, so I already know that the house will rent for w enough money to pay for the travel. But if you have a whole bunch of stuff, it's really hard to like wrap your brain around another family coming and living in your house. But if it's just a place to sleep and it's just furniture and you kind of have that like modeling it after an Airbnb vibe, you're not as attached to it and it's not as scary to think about this. And your idea is something that I've always wanted to do. I love that idea of slow travel. If when and so now I'm going off on a tangent, but the idea of flying to Europe and quote unquote cramming it all in 2 weeks and seeing it all and scratching it off my list is not something I've ever wanted to do. I want to go and stay. I want to travel in a way that I don't feel rushed. And if we like someplace, great, we're just gonna continue the rental for another 3 weeks. I want to know where the locals eat and the locals shop. And the only way it would be okay to do that is knowing that all of the home stuff is taken care of. And we do own. So it's completely different if you're renting and you've got to put stuff in storage and all of these different things. But don't immediately dismiss the idea that you can't do something. Just go quiet. And when you're in a good mood, say, okay, how? How could I do this? And then just listen, and the answers will bubble up like, oh, well, maybe my college age kid will come home and they can stay in the house and work and save money, and we're not there, and we've got a little RV and we're traveling. Don't just decide that that's great for someone else, but it's not something that you could ever do. Because if you have the idea and if you decide on purpose to prioritize something, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. And I, yeah, 100% that, yeah, just how, what if, what if I could do that? You know, huh? What if that was possible instead of the immediate, oh gosh, I, that could never be me. Like, must be nice, right? Nice for you. But just, yeah. Oh, wow, that's interesting. Or I never even thought that was possible. We went one time to a talk by Sam Harris, and one of his first questions was, name a city that starts with the letter C. And we were in Chicago, so I mean 90% of the people said Chicago. And then he started naming like some very obscure cities that start with the letter C. And he's like, you couldn't name that if you didn't know it. And so I love the idea of just opening your mind to new possibilities that you can't think of something you've never heard of. You can't think of something you've never thought of. So just brainstorm, like, are there other ways I could do this? What if? What other avenues could be available to me? And it might sound very, very outlandish, but especially in today's day and age where there is so much available in our pocket on our phone, right? You can Google, you can ask ChatGPT, like ask for some fun ideas and see what they say. And then I 100% agree with you that if we can get some distance from our stuff, it gives us so much more clarity in so many areas of our life. I think the stuff we have, like one of my defining concepts is the fact that the stuff we have really overlaps into so many different areas in our life, right? Like if we have too much stuff and we're embarrassed by our homes, it's going to affect our social life because we're not going to invite people over. It's going to affect our family life because we are, yelling at the kids to get out the door because we're rushed in the morning. It's going to affect our financial life because we're buying too much stuff to make us feel better about the stuff we have already. And so it just kind of piles up. And so if we can just, like you said, get quiet, look within, slow down, and figure out, okay, what do I actually want this stuff for? What is it that I'm trying to achieve in life? Or what is it that why did I buy that Easter towel? Like, what did it make me feel? Like, did I really want the Easter towel, or was it just something I saw when I walked by, in Target and I was having a bad day, so I bought this because I wanted a little pick-me-up. If you want the towel, buy the towel, right? But if you don't really want the towel and you're feeling overwhelmed with your stuff, maybe next time you can say, okay, I'm only going to shop from a list this time. And if there's something in the store that I pass that, I'm like, oh, that's so cute, I'm going to write it down. And I'm gonna, think about it. And the next time I come to Target, if I want it, I will look for it again, right? Just having these small little moments with ourselves. It doesn't have to be, I'm decluttering the entire house this weekend and we're going through the garage and I'm throwing out 20 years worth of stuff and this is gonna be the worst thing I've ever done, but I'm gonna feel great at the end. It's like going on the cabbage diet, right? I mean, I'm gonna date myself, but like that was like huge when I was in high school. And I, even back then, I was like, you want me to eat cabbage all week? I don't think so. That doesn't sound like a good idea. And so it's that kind of a thing. Like, how can we do something that's sustainable, that makes us feel good about ourselves, that we're not going to just yo-yo back from and hit the other end of the pendulum, right? We're not going from never having decluttered our stuff to living like we live in an Airbnb, right? We've got to take the steps along the way to get there if that's what we desire. And really dig down and figure out what is it? What is it that I want to be? What is the vision I have for my life? And don't be afraid to ask, how can I get there? What if it was possible for me? What would that mean for me? Like, have a little bit more deep insights into yourself. And it's a little scary, but no one has to see it. It's just you, like just you and yourself, right? You can internally think these thoughts, you can journal them down. It doesn't have to be something you're broadcasting to the world. You don't have to go tell everybody, hey, next year I'm going to go travel Europe, and then you worry about failing. Just start small.
Start small and be curious and
Yes.
kind of poke at imagining. And I think sometimes as grown-ups, we turn the imagination off and we're constantly distracting ourselves with lots of things, watching TV instead of just being a little bored, and just kind of go back to that childlike wonder and ask how, ask why, and what is it I want? What do I want for my life? Deanna, thank you so much for being here. How can people find you?
I am wannabe clutter free. Wannabe like the Spice Girls song. Wannabe clutter free. That's where you'll find me. It's my website, my Instagram, my podcast, all of it. So. Yeah, come
Okay,
join us.
we
And
will
then you'll
link.
be on my show. So make sure people check that one out as well, because it'll be really
Yeah,
fun.
we will absolutely cross promote. I think you are wonderful, and just chatting with you, the back of my brain is getting juicy again because I want to not be tethered. And I want, like, when our favorite hotel emails and it's like, we're having a flash sale. Like, I want to be like, yes, let's go take advantage of this flash sale, and go do these things. And I think people have that inclination and the nuances of wanting to do that, but they don't know how, and they don't think it's for them. And so you show through your work that it is possible, and you can be a full-fledged grown-up and still have fun in your life.
Yes. Yes, you can.
Okay. Thank you so much, Slow Down Society, for being here. I'll be back in your earbuds next week. You take care. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person, and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.